Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
As Keith comes, I want you just to open your heart. God's put a great word in this heart. But this couple God has used to raise up works around the world for decades now. We're so honored to be able to stand with them as kingdom builders. So as he comes, I want to pray that you open your heart, that you receive from heaven today. Also, I want to pray over your giving. Your tithes, your offerings, and your kingdom builder giving. Then I want you to give him, man, just a great big victory welcome. Father, I thank you so much for the privilege of being kingdom builders. It really isn't a have to, it's a get to. The privilege to serve people. Oh, we're so grateful to be able to give and add our life to your shed blood and your sacrifice. We're so grateful. Thank you for the privilege. Lord, I thank you for Keith and Heidi, Mutual Faith Ministries. Their centers around the world, the ministers and ministries and people that are there serving, many of them literally hazarding their very lives to preach the gospel. We are so honored to stand with them, Lord, people of whom this world is not worthy. We are so grateful. So, Lord, we thank you for your great grace upon Keith. Thank you that you your presence upon him to speak today. But we give you all the glory for what you will do in this place. We trust you, Holy Spirit, to move mightily among us. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Would you give him a great victory welcome? Come on, man.
Praise the Lord. Hello, everybody. What a great, great honor and treat for Heidi and I to be with you today. We love what God's doing in this place, and we love to be an extension of your love and life in the nations of the world. And just seeing that video again that our team leaders, Pastor Saidi, put together, and it's just remarkable how sometimes you can be surprised by the Spirit with direction and you don't even know it's direction. But let's depart from the place. Let's pray. You know, sometimes you just have to follow the little quickenings that God gives us in life. And there's preservation in those times and in those places. And I remember when this just happened, you know, it was just a couple of months ago. And of course, I was overwhelmed. I went into the ministry actually in 1979. I know I don't look that old, but I had just graduated from college and started working with an African organization. And what was interesting back in those days, I was young, I didn't know what I was doing, and God had favor for me, though he had mercy for me. He gave me his wisdom along the way. And I got married in those early years, and Heidi and I, we lived our first year of marriage actually overseas together. We traveled throughout Africa and the Middle East. I was given an assignment by a couple of African leaders to put a conference together in the Middle East with Arab and Jewish leaders. And, you know, it's an impossible assignment, but we actually found a Greek island to host this kind of hidden conference at, and the presence of the Lord was powerful in this place, and I had no idea that I was sowing seeds in my life that years later that would come to harvest. And the video you saw of Saeed Deeb, he married a young lady named Cecile, whose parents were at that conference back in about 1983. And when I went to Lebanon, right after the events of 9/11, God opened the door for me to meet this precious people. And they said, we know who you are. We've met you before. And I said, no, sir. I've never been here. I've never been to Lebanon. He said, no, I know we've met you. And we've learned from our little conversation together that they had a picture of us from the early 80s. And now this was in the early 2000s. And now these 20 years even later, in 2020, we have this massive explosion from the seeds of just ministering and loving people in the Middle East. And our whole campus was rattled, and Kingdom Builders has been such a vital part of the ministry there. And I was a little depressed, to be honest with you, the first 48, 72 hours after this. But your pastor, John the Beloved, got a hold of me. Hallelujah. And my beloved brother, Steve Moore, Pastor Steve, got a hold of me and said, no, we're going to help. We're going to do something. And Kingdom Builders came to the rescue right away. So all those rebuilding pictures are things that you have done. Give the Lord a shout of praise for his goodness. Amen. So I just want to thank you for being you. I want to thank you for being planted in the local church. I want to thank you for even letting your heart being prompt to do something beyond the boundaries of Cranberry Township or the local church and being a part of Kingdom Builders. I am so astonished with the grace of God on this church. I've never seen a church that does what you do. Never in all my years of ministry. And to hear your pastor talk about, hey, 1.8 million, my mind just like goes, wow, this is above and beyond giving and just for kingdom building assignments outside the walls of the church. I marvel at the grace of God in you. And this is what I want to do this morning. Just for a few moments, I want to put something in your heart that's going to rattle down deep within you. It's going to capture your soul because it's the beauty of the Lamb of God. It's the love of the Lamb which gets a hold of us. And I want to talk to you about sponsoring the revelation of Jesus. Sponsoring the revelation of Jesus. Because really in all your kingdom builders assignments, in all your assignments as a people collectively, as you come and gather and join your faith and love one another, in all the things you're doing, you're actually setting the table, so to speak, to sponsor the revelation of Jesus. And you're going to learn this morning what the revelation of Jesus can and will do for you. It's phenomenal. It's thrilling. And it's going to change the way you think about our world even now. And all of us need to get a different perspective about our world because our world has gone nuts. Everywhere, it's just so difficult and so hard to interpret. But if you're only seeing things according to the eyes of the flesh, you're going to misunderstand the heart of the Father in all the misery, so to speak, and all the hardship and headache and pains of life. God has got you covered. And the good news for you is that God loves you and He loves you completely. There's no disappointment in the Father concerning you. And God's view of you, you're going to see this morning, is so thrilling. So we're going to talk about sponsoring the revelation of Jesus. You can follow along with me if you have a Bible or your phone, your digital Bible, whatever. I'm still old-fashioned. I still carry a Bible. I still preach from notes, you know. But I've got a young guy that works for me. Before I came on this trip, he said, Mr. Hershey, he said, we need to get you an iPad so you can look really cool when you're preaching, so you can look really connected and updated. I said, well, when I come back from this assignment, you can help me out. Praise the Lord. See, people trying to upgrade me. Isn't that wonderful? People so merciful to these older mission guys. But anyway, look at this with me, if you would, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. This is one of my favorite scriptures, actually. It says, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. I love that term, gift. The gospel is the gospel of the gift. There is no merit attached to the gospel. There's no do-it-yourself program in the gospel. There's no bettering yourself in the gospel. The gospel is about a gift which makes you a new creation. And the Bible says here in one phrase, thanks be unto God for His indescribable gift. I like that term, indescribable, too. You know, to me, indescribable simply means indescribable. In other words, there's not human language to articulate really what you want to say, but there's a knowing that you possess. Now, this phrase was given to a group of believers in a town called Corinth, because they were some of the scripture's original kingdom builders. If you read the previous chapter and this chapter, you'll find they had just given a big offering supernaturally that was outside their walls. It wasn't for their environment. It was for the heartache and headache in people in other places. So the Apostle Paul was astonished with their generosity, because they weren't forced to do nothing. They were just moved by the love of the Father to give supernaturally. And it met the needs of others in other places where there could be the sponsorship of the revelation of Jesus in other places. But this verse not only talks about the gift of money or finance, thanks be unto God for His indescribable gift. This verse can also relate to the gift God gave the whole world. For God so loved the world, He gave Jesus. And Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus came to rescue all of us. And this is what I do in mission work around the world, in all our campuses and teams, is I like to sponsor the revelation of Jesus, which transforms the way people think. You know, repentance is all about changing the way you think. It's not just about being sorry for your sin. and confessing your sin. It's about changing your worldview from this system to the kingdom system. Amen. From your life to His life. Now, let me explain. I got a couple little illustrations to help you understand the simplicity of the gospel in Christ Jesus. Here's a little cardboard box. I'm sure you're all familiar with UPS, FedEx, you know, Amazon. You know, my wife, bless her heart, she has an addiction to Amazon. You know, especially during COVID. When I come home, there's boxes on the front, you know, steps of our house. And I know Heidi's ordered something. And, you know, you would think something would be for me, but it's never for me. It's always for the grandkids. But we get all kinds of boxes, you know. This box represents your human life. Your life the way you know yourself, according to the flesh. You know, on our journey in life, we get banged up, don't we? We have bad experiences. People take us down the wrong path, the wrong trail, the wrong whatever. We get labeled in life. See, some of you still carrying things your daddy said about you. Or your mama said about you. Or your first wife said about you. Or your second wife said about you. Or your third wife, or your present. No, whatever. Listen, the thing is, all of us are labeled. We're broken. We don't like ourselves according to ourselves. We look in the mirror and we nitpick ourselves to pieces. We say, oh, you see that age spot? Oh, you see this wrinkle? Oh, you see this, see that? If you know yourself according to yourself, you'll never like yourself. So you know what we do? We try to do it better. We try to present our best self. That's a teaching, a thought. You know, let's do our best self. Listen, the best you is still you. There's no good thing in the flesh, according to Scripture. Nothing. God doesn't know you according to your flesh. The indescribable gift changes the worldview of you concerning the way God understands and sees you. God sees you according to Christ. And this is what faith does. Faith gets you out of yourself into Himself. This is the gift. The indescribable gift that wraps you. You are gift wrapped. This is the picture of the new creation. This is you in Him. This is you in you. The only difference between your flesh life and your Christ life is faith. And faith is never a deficiency in Christ. Faith is always present. You live by the faith of the Son of God. There's no work, there's no wrestling. It's always present in Christ Jesus. And when you get captured by the love of God, this is where you reside. And this is where you renew your mind to the love of the Lamb. That God loves me completely. My sins have been forgiven and forgotten. It's hard to imagine. It's hard to explain. It's indescribable. This tells you that you were crucified with Christ. You were buried with Christ. You were raised with Christ. You ascended with Christ. You're seated with Christ. Say, Keith, wow. Can you explain that to me? No, I can't. I'm not that smart. I'm leaving town right after the service. Ask your pastor. Hallelujah. He can explain everything. No, this is part of the mystery of the gospel. This is part of the mystery of being in Christ. This isn't a wrapping that you can rip off. This is infused through your whole being. Your spirit is recreated with the nature of God. Your soul can be renewed to the beauty of believing. And your body can have the corresponding blessing. You don't have to live like you're losing. Amen. You're in a place called victory. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is what we're sponsoring. We are sponsoring the revelation of Jesus. Why do I want to sponsor you according to you? I'll discourage you. You know, if I just told you about me according to me, I could depress all of us quickly. Even all you online. All of you at Newcastle campus and the other campuses, whatever. Listen, I speak of myself according to the Lamb. We announce who we are according to the gift. The gift wraps me. It's an indescribable gift. And this is the news I'll announce here in Cranberry Township. It's the news I announce in Beirut, Lebanon. It's the news I announce in all the nations of the world, wherever I am. The kingdom of God is here. Jesus has come. Change the way you think. Get out of yourself. Get into Christ Jesus. Let the love of God transform the way you see things, the way you view your world, the way you view yourself. And you'll find in the love of the Father, the wisdom of God, the favor of God, everything you're looking for is found in Him. Let me explain what I mean. Go with me in your Bible, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. This is what the Apostle Peter talks about in terms of sponsoring the revelation of Jesus. This is really going to be a picture for you of the love of the Father. Let's look at this together. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. It says this, "Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you." Let's pause. Now, the Apostle Peter says, listen, all the prophets of the past, all the old timers, in other words, all the prophets who proclaimed things in the old covenant, Ezekiel, Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all of them. If you put it all together and boil it down to one thing, this is what they said, according to Peter. Peter said they proclaimed, they prophesied. You know, to prophesy means really to speak forth. They preached that grace would come to you. If you change the way you understand the Old Testament, you know, when Jesus taught of the Old Testament, it shows how he did it in Luke 24 when he met two guys on the road to Emmaus. After he was raised from the dead, it says he talked to the guys from the prophets, from the law, and from the Psalms, and he preached concerning himself. He preached concerning himself. It's all about grace that would come to you. Do you know what you really need? Do you know what I really need? Every day of my life, grace. And I'm using grace in the general biblical term of unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. I know there's other terms and other, thank God for the sufficiency of God and all these things. But I love this unmerited favor. You don't deserve it. You can't qualify it based on you. It's gifted. It's unmerited favor. And everything you need is in the favor of the Father. Grace would come to you. Notice that you don't have to chase grace. You don't have to look for it. It comes to you. It's delivered. It's Ubered in. Heaven has a delivery system through the love of God to bring you what you need when you need it, and it's all grace. And the moment you get comfortable with nothing but grace is the day you'll love your own company. It's very important that you have no skin in the game. It's very important that all the praise is to our God. Every bit of worship in one accord is to Him. So this is what all the old timers said. Grace is coming your way. This is what I announced today. Grace is coming to you right now for anything and everything you need. Look at the next verse, verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. Let's pause. What are the sufferings of Christ? It's the cross. It's what we preach. It's foolishness to the minds of men, but it's the power of God. We preach the finished work. It's a done deal. There's no more add-on necessary. It's a finished work. The sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. What's the glories? Well, this is glory time. Jesus has been raised from the dead, and he is the receipt that you're righteous with God. He is the proof in his resurrection. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He has the victory for all time. And you know what's so beautiful, friend? It says glory will follow. We live in the good old days. No, Keith, this is the screwed up days. This is the COVID days. This is the political chaos days. This is the world falling apart days. These are the glory days. And I believe in Jesus' name. And a year from now, I'm going to look back and say, this is one of the great seasons of seeing the glory of God in my life and in your life. If you believe it, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Amen. Why not? The glories that would follow. Let's look at the next verse real quick. This is verse 12. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. Let's pause. What I'm getting ready to preach, I'm just setting it up now. I'm setting the table. This has all been hors d'oeuvres. I'm getting ready to preach for about 7 minutes on what I came to share. Because it'll show you how to gain everything you need, and it'll show you how to sponsor it. It's phenomenal. And so this scripture says that the angels desire to see what I'm getting ready to say. It's all about the love of God in Christ. It's astonishing. Now come with me. Verse 13. This is where we want to settle for just a couple of minutes. Therefore, I love what Peter says. Therefore, you know, therefore means, you know, you should take into account what's just been said. And because of what's just been said, this is the truth. Because grace would come to you, proclaimed by the old covenant prophets. Because, you know, angels desired to look into this. Because this is the glory time. Because your focus has been on the suffering of Jesus. Therefore, look at it says, gird up the loins of your mind. Let's pause. Gird up the loins of your mind. That sounds kind of odd, doesn't it? Gird up the loins of your mind. Well, if you look at a human body, you know, the midsection would be like the loin section, right? In other words, it's the reproductive zone of a person. This tells me that your mind can reproduce thoughts. And any thought you're taking time to reproduce and consenting to, you're getting yourself out of the place of grace. And you're going to live according to the cardboard box that's not gift-based. It says, gird up the loins of your mind. You gotta get a hold of, you know, I'm amazed at my mind and the goofy things my mind can think. And I'm a nice guy. I mean, I'm a gospel preacher. Your pastor, John the Beloved, invited me to preach, huh? At Victory. Wow. But this mind can be a mess. It can be a mess with COVID. It can be a mess with politics. It can be a mess with everything. It can fill me with fear. And fear has torment. And unfortunately, when I yield to the nonsense of my mindset, sometimes I have torment. Worst case scenario, I know none of you have these challenges. This is why I like you all so much. None of you have these problems. But my mind, it says, gird up the loins of your mind. Look at the verse says, and be sober. Oh, let's pause again. Be sober. Now, what does that mean? Sober, you know, when I think of being sober, it means I'm not loaded. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? When you're sober. In other words, you can walk the line. Sober really means be serious. Remember years ago I was preaching for a friend. He's got a big church like this in California. And I've preached for him for probably 30 years. And I'm on their board, in fact. And I remember years ago I was doing all their weekend service. They have a Saturday and three Sundays, a Sunday. I was doing all of them. And I remember I left that night, Sunday night. He's going home. I live like an hour and a half away. And I was happy. Sometimes after I preach, I'm just happy. And I can't sleep. And so I was driving rapidly. I was sinning very well. So I was going 80, 85, whatever it was. You know, but I was moving. And in the California thing, I was coming through Pasadena. And there was like four lanes, you know, in my direction there in the 210 freeway. And I was using all four lanes. Just in and out, moving back. And it was night, very dark, and so then I saw these lights flashing behind me. And I thought, oh, I wonder if they're looking for me, you know? So I realized, hey, they're chasing me. Pull over, Keith, pull over. You know, you got to talk to yourself. So I pulled over, and they come with flashlights, you know, the officers. And the first question, they look in my eyes. They want to see my eyes. They say, are you sober? I say, yes, I'm sober. I say, I'm a preacher. That didn't mean anything to them. I said, I don't drink. I'm sober. I've just been preaching. I'm happy. You're going very fast, you know. I said, yeah, I'm sorry. I know. I'm guilty. You're going in and out of all the lane. I'm sorry. You're driving like you're not sober. I'm sorry. You know, God gave me favor and I didn't get a ticket. Hallelujah. Because it would have been a doozy. Praise the Lord. God had mercy on the preacher. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah for the mercies for the preacher. Huh? But it says be sober. Look at the verse goes on to say. And rest your hope fully. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that's being brought to you in the revelation of Jesus. Now actually, most texts say at, like it's a future thing. In the Greek, it's the word en. This phrase is written in present tense in the Greek. You Greek scholars, check me out. It says, set your hope. Hope is a confident expectation of good. Set your hope, your confident expectation of good. Set your hope on grace that's being brought to you. It's being delivered to you in the revelation of Jesus. Notice what the Bible does not say. Set your hope on the Republican Party. No? Set your hope on the Democratic Party. Sorry. Nope. Set your hope on socialism. Nope. Set your hope on your 401k. Nope. Set your hope on your net worth. Nope. Set your hope on your spouse. Nope. Set your hope on your kids. Nope. Set your hope on your grandkids. Nope. Set your hope on grace. Set your hope on grace, the unmerited favor of the Father you find when you're gift wrapped. It's ever present. When you're being loved. This is why all I do, the older I get, all I do is teach people how to be loved. And take your place in the beloved. It's where you belong. It's where you reside. Set your hope on grace, which is being brought to you in the revelation of Jesus. Notice the verse does not say, set your hope on grace, which is being brought to you in the revelation of something else. It's in the revelation of Jesus. The revelation of Jesus. See, you can be a person of the flesh and know of Jesus and never be transformed. It's the revelation of Jesus that changes you. You know, our world is full of people who know about Jesus. They're getting ready to celebrate Christmas next month, aren't they, huh? Yeah, oh yeah, Christmas, Jesus came as a baby, yay, wonderful. Give me a present, let's have a dinner, whatever. Fine. But they don't have any transformation in their life. They're still flesh focused. They have works of the flesh constantly in their life. It takes the revelation of Jesus to be transformed. See, the Bible teaches, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says you're to know no one according to the flesh. Not even Christ. That's a quote. You're to know no one according to the flesh, not even Christ. Do you know, if you just... I remember we had a Bible teacher, Pastor John, you probably remember this too, that said, you know, believers need to give their attention in Scripture in the epistles. Because it's in the epistles which show you the revelation of not Jesus according to the flesh, but according to the cross. According to his assignment. See, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John all the time, you'll see the stories of Jesus in the flesh. And that'll show you who the Father is. He came to reveal the Father to you. But the epistles don't have any stories about Jesus in the flesh. They talk about Jesus in his redemptive work. And it's in the revelation of the redemptive work that you understand the love of the Father in a deep way, which grips you and grabs you and holds you when you feel like you can't hold on to him. You know, I've failed so much. And you know who's always got me? The love of God in Christ. Always. And if I just awake to my righteousness, I don't have to give in to the nonsense that's trying to fill my mindset. Be loved today, friend. Be loved today. So that verse says, grace is being brought to you. Grace is being brought to you. Grace is being sponsored. Brought to you by? This football game is brought to you by some brewery, right? You watch anything. Everything in the world is sponsored. Everything. In all this political chaos, everything has been sponsored, and even now there's money behind everything. Everything. This beautiful campus just didn't rise up one day because God said, I think I'll do this. Boom. No. He used the saints to sponsor the revelation of Jesus through those with generous hearts and gave and tithed to their local church. And wow. Now you have a place of grace where the love of the Lord is announced, where there's a sponsorship of grace. Grace is brought to you by, it's brought to you by the revelation of Jesus. It's brought to you by the revelation of Jesus. The revelation of Jesus. Epinosis is the word. It's revealed knowledge, revelation. Jesus said to Peter when he said, you're the Christ. Hey, you didn't get this from a flesh guy. You get this from a spirit guy from heaven. And on that kind of revelation, I'm going to build my people. And the gates of hell, no matter what falls apart, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. You're anchored, friend. Grace is brought to you by, it's sponsored by the... Hey, let me ask you a question. If grace is sponsored by the revelation of Jesus, who sponsors the revelation of Jesus? If grace is presented by the sponsorship of the revelation of Jesus, who sponsors the revelation of Jesus? I'm glad you asked. You do. I do. You. Me. We. Believers. Believers who've been captured by the new creation, revelation of radical love. They move in strength and they sponsor the everything. You know, I watched your services last weekend. I've been watching a lot actually during COVID, but I saw the services both Saturday and Sunday last week. Watched live. And your pastor, John the Beloved, you know, had a great word. It was Kingdom Builders. right? And I said, well, let me just see, you know. And I'm hearing the vision and saw some of the videos and what you're doing. I'm astonished with the way you're sponsoring the revelation. I don't know of anyone anywhere who does what you do. No one. So your faith moves me. Your life moves me. And I'm honored that our little lives can be an extension of your life. I'm really honored. I'm really honored. We sponsor the revelation of Jesus. Let me show you one other verse. Then I'm almost finished. Look at this next verse. Verse 14. It says, as obedient children. As obedient children. Do you know how you know you're obedient? When you're connected in the revelation of the gift, the revelation of Jesus. Peter, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so God's worldview of your obedience is when you're beholding the Lamb. You'll see, Keith, that sounds so silly. That doesn't fix anything. It fixes everything. This is where you're empowered over every addiction, over every flesh failure, over every mindset mess, over every turbulence of life. You're obedient when you're beholding the Lamb. And you believe that what He's done qualifies you eternally. I love it. I love the gospel. As obedient children, then it says, not conforming yourself to the former lust. You know, the old flesh stuff, we all got junk, right? I wish I could tell you I'm free from any sin in the flesh. Shoot, I wish I could tell you that. I can't. I mean, my flesh still can easily work well. You know what I mean? In other words, I daily have to be loved. Every night, in the middle of the night, when I'm woke by something, I have to be loved so I'm not triggered. None of you are like that, though. I love you all so much. You all have such great grace. But this is the way over your flesh failures, is through the gift, not through your effort. Your corresponding actions in the gift, it's through the power of the gift that you lose every bit of addiction to whatever is sensual and carnal and fleshly and wrong and sinful, whatever. I mean, name it. It's not that big of a deal. It is what it is. It's the flesh. Sin is in your flesh. It's not in your spirit. You're recreated. You have the nature of God in you. And this is the beauty of the gospel. So grace is brought to you by the revelation of Jesus. And the revelation of Jesus is brought to you by kingdom builders. Let me show you what I mean. Let me just give you an idea. I met Pastor Steve Moore last December. 11 months ago. I'll never forget, you know, over this last year, what has happened in, you know, in our little world of missions, because your pastor had a vision for kingdom builders. And I'll never forget, you know, when your pastor contacted me and said, hey, Keith, can you just highlight some needs you have? And I thought, wow, you know, I told him, Pastor John said I can send some little ideas of what's happening, you know. And I sent little puny little projects, you know, $3,000. I didn't know what he wanted, $5,000, whatever, $7,000, whatever, you know. I was afraid to tell him anything. But at the end of my letter, I said, oh, by the way, I haven't told this to anybody, but I have to build a new home, a life home for the kids, the girls. I've got to separate the boys and the girls in the life home in the Philippines and in General Santos City. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but, you know, it's a lot of money. And I told him how much. Then I'll never forget, he texted me back. He said, we're going to do it all. I told Heidi, she was in the car. Honest to God, I pulled over. I said, they're going to do it all.
And you did. Let me show you a picture or two. Can we see that? Oh, this isn't the Life Home yet. This is refugees. Look at Pastor Steve. I delivered him from being a refugee. We're in refugee tents. We had us a time. This is just in March. We got stuck there when COVID started. Let's go to the next picture real quick. This is all what you've all done. You've all these Muslims that are getting saved. I don't do nothing except have the vision and carry the gospel. You all are the provision. There's my wife. There's, you see, Pastor Sai. There's Pastor Steve. And let's go to the next picture real quick. This is our campus that was blown apart. You saw the video. This is just from a few rows back. It's very big. It's got a big balcony. It seats 700 people. Where COVID spread out there kind of thing. Let's go to the next picture. Pastor Steve is preaching, and I had to preach right after him, kind of fix everything, but you know, he gave it his best shot. Here's a lot of the pastors. You know, we bring in pastors from all over the Middle East, you know, and just a wonderful time. Let's go to another picture real quick. You know, I hate to say that, but I looked a lot younger than Steve in that picture, didn't I? Here's the explosion, kind of the, we're a mile from there. Just rattled the daylights all over work. And you all came to the rescue. And you know what? I told Heidi when I said, I'm not asking nobody for nothing. I'm tired of asking. Let's go to another picture. Oh, this is the Life Home. You built that. In the last 11 months, built that. All the campus, all the cement. Let's go to another picture. These are the kids, some of them, not all of them. Let's go to another picture. The beautiful kids. They're all rascals, but they love the Lord. Hallelujah. This is the pavilion. Beautiful. We call it Victory Court, named for you, because you brought them the victory. This is cultural dances. Yeah. It's beautiful. You paid for everything. Let's go to another picture. This is one of the villages. You know, we plant churches. These are Muslim villages. This guy was a terrorist. He's the pastor now. Yeah. He got saved through Operation Life Cell, which was the strategy God gave me to go into the Middle East. And it's worked all over the world. Let's go to another picture. Oh, this is something because of Kingdom Builders, because of you, we're starting to build this. This is going to be the retreat at Victory Lane. This is something I want to do. I want to bring young village people to a nice place on our campus. And I'm going to teach them in the love of the Father. I'm going to teach them how to reach people. And this is what's going to happen. And it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful thing. And we're going to do that as soon as COVID lifts. They're all in lockdown everywhere. They're re-locked down now in the Philippines. They're re-locked down. I was talking to Lebanon yesterday. They've re-locked down there. So, but as soon as the COVID thing is out of our way, we're going to start this retreat to train and equip pastors. You know, I love to sit around the table and feed people the love of the Lamb. I love to give people communion and tell people, this is God's truth about you, whether you like it or not. Because God sees you in Christ. Jesus is God's opinion of you. Period. You don't have to live disappointed with yourself another day of your life. You can find the thrill of the gospel. And this is the beauty of the love of the Lamb. Well, did you all like the preaching today? Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Well, I've been so honored to be here. I'm going to take a minute and pray for you. Before I do, let me just say, I got a couple of little things somewhere. Hallelujah. Out in the foyer someplace, but I got a little book called Gift Wrapped. It came out in January. It's got the pictures of the boxes. If you read this, it will astonish you. Make some people mad. They don't know the gospel's that good. They work too hard in their, you know, trying, doing more and trying and feeling good based on their flesh. Forget it. Yield to the love of the Lamb. You'll do more than you could ever dream of. When the love of God compels you, you do things not out of duty. It's called Gift Wrap. God's view of you in Christ. You'll like it. It's $3. I think you get 2 for $5 or something like that. Listen, if you don't have $3, no hardship on anybody. Just take one. Put it on the house. Or just say, put it on Steve Moore's account. Everything is fine. But, you know, I like this. You can put it in your pocket. It's not like you're carrying a big Bible. Put one in your truck. Put one in your bathroom. Put one in your purse. Buy one for your wife. Go over it together. Read it. Then give her. The best way you preach to your spouse is give them communion. Don't give them words. Give them communion. When I have my grumpy moments, and there's been once or twice in my life, but the best way Heidi can serve me is to give me communion. The best way I can serve Heidi, who's never had an issue with grumpiness, the best way is to give communion. And just say, eat, drink, and be merry. Believe it. Your sins are forgiven. You're reconciled to God. You're gift wrapped. Anyway, get some of these. Get them for friends, whatever. There's plenty out there. And then if you want a book I wrote about 5 years ago called Beloved. It's the term beloved, but beloved. I teach people, be loved. Get over yourself. And then my son wrote a great book just on the unity and unison of the Father's love relationally. It's the most distinctive, different book on relationships I've ever read. And he's more a theologian. This is more of an academic. But it's powerful in the grace of God. You'll love it. It's called Relationships. Each of those books are $10. If you don't have $10, it's on the house. Okay? Did you like the word today? Give the Lord one more praise. Can you do that? Hallelujah! I don't know about you, precious friend. My heart's happy. And I just am so thankful to be invited. But let me do one more thing. It's very important. Maybe you only know yourself according to yourself. Maybe you're always measuring yourself and your sin and your stupidity and your failure and your frustration. And you only know yourself by the labels. I want to invite you today to get out of yourself and get into Himself. I want to invite you in Christ. You say, Keith, how do I get there? By faith. That's all? Yeah, that's all. You just believe. I'm the Lord Jesus Christ, and grace comes to you. And the scripture says, and you are saved. Paul says it another way. You believe in your heart. You know, you confess with your mouth. You believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Your justification is in the resurrection. Your sins were paid at the cross. You believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. And you confess it with your mouth. The Bible says you're saved. Well, Keith, don't I have to list all my sins and what a rotten loser I am? Nope. You know why you don't? Because you can't remember them all. Then you'll always be guilty. Well, I didn't mention this, that. Yeah, go ahead, be sorry for your sins and apologize, confess your sins to the Lord. But that doesn't what get you saved. The blood of the Lamb gets you saved. It has nothing to do with your merit, your capacity to have a perfect prayer. It has to do with your heart and your belief. You know, Jesus said, if you'll confess me before people, I'll confess you before the angels of God. It's amazing. You know, if you would like to pray a prayer with me, that Jesus be your Lord and Savior, it would give me joy to pray with you. And it would bring joy to heaven, the Bible says. You will bring joy to heaven. You will. You, little old you, will bring joy to heaven. You just confess Him. So I'm not going to have us bow our heads and close our eyes. I'm going to say, let every head be up. And let every eye be open. And let everybody look around. I want to see if you're bold enough to be a believer. Because if you're not bold enough in the church to be a believer, you'll never be bold enough in the world. Are you ready? You know if your heart's stirred. you know if you're not right with God. You know. So on the count of three, if you want this prayer, I want you to raise your hand real quick. One, two, three. All over. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. I can't see some of them. 11. Give the Lord a shout, hallelujah. Pastor John, come. Come help me. These are beautiful saints you have. You have beautiful saints. And you got some new saints.
Amen.
Let your pastor pray with you and give you instruction. I love you guys lots. Thanks so much for letting me share. Bless you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.